It's a pleasure to be here with you. First time that our family has been in the area. We know a few of you, but not everyone. Maybe a little introduction of who we are. My wife and I and our family live, our address is Bedford, Pennsylvania, but we live right on the Mason-Dixon line. When I drive in our driveway that we share with our neighbors, I drive from Maryland into Pennsylvania. So the only way to get to our place is by road, is to go through Maryland to get to it. So that's a little interesting tidbit. And we live close to the town of Cumberland, Maryland, which is where our church is, Life in Christ Mennonite Church. Sometimes it gets confused with Light of Truth. They sound similar, but they are different. A small congregation, there are eight families that meet there. 3 years ago, we had our first service in October, starting out of the 4th Avenue congregation in Altoona. So we are in the, our Cumberland is in the western part of Maryland, and it's not a frequent route that people take, but if you ever find your way, find yourself in our area, we enjoy visitors and would welcome you to stop in and visit us. For a message this morning and this evening, I've been preaching in our congregation. I've been preaching on the Christian virtues, and I'd like to bring a message this morning on biblical stewardship, and this evening on contentment. And in our Sunday school lesson this morning, we were looking at storms, the storm that Paul went through, and storms of life. Song that we sang referenced the anchor that we have, and I've been impressed as and we talk about how we're anchored in the Bible and we're anchored in God, and that is so true. And I have, as I've been preaching on the virtues, the Christian virtues, I realize how that those particular virtues help us. They're like an aspect of God, an aspect of God's word that gives us forms our worldview and gives us a foundation on which we build life. And the one we want to look at this morning is stewardship. I'm just going to read that little section on Christian virtues, on these Christian virtues, just to refresh it in our mind. Contentment and stewardship. Couple verses to start out with. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. So the accumulation of things isn't what a man's life is all about. Matthew 6:19-20, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:24, ye cannot serve God and mammon. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. We recognize that all earthly possessions belong to God, and that is where our understanding of stewardship comes from. Therefore, we are stewards and not owners of these material goods. The threat of materialism is a serious challenge to true spirituality in our day. We sense this in a keen way when we compare the warnings against seeking riches in the New Testament with the materialistic emphasis of seeking wealth and prosperity in our culture. When God blesses with added wealth, members are directed to find ways to share with others for the sake of the kingdom of heaven and avoid excessive accumulation of material wealth. The following guidelines are presented as a means of helping the believer sense when materialism is influencing him in a course away from God. When devotional life and the family altar are pushed out of his schedule, one is busier than God ever intended him to be. When disagreements over material possessions begin to cause strife, envy, or bitterness. When one begins to strap himself with debt in order to achieve a better lifestyle, and when giving is done grudgingly so that more and more of one's finances are kept for self. And finally, when one has an unthankful attitude toward present blessings and an unwholesome craving for more. Extravagance in any form is not consistent with the teachings of the Scriptures. Therefore, we urge that our members refrain from useless and wasteless expenditures of money in their homes, on their persons, or in their living, and recommend that in all things they seek to give a good account of their stewardship as faithful servants of Christ. You think about the concept of contentment and stewardship are very foundational to our Christian living. Contentment is the state of being happy enough with what one has or is, not desiring something more or different, satisfied. Stewardship is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. A steward is a person who does that, who responsibly manages what someone else owns. And these two virtues, while they're different, stewardship and contentment, they're totally different concepts. They bring a lot of guidance to us in our everyday living. Contentment is an internal attitude that I have. Stewardship is also a concept, but it is an external action that you live out. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." We're familiar with that verse. And that verse teaches that concept that the world, the universe that we see, is God's. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not the people in our nation. It is owned by the Creator. And the things and the people and the creatures that are in it, they're God's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. How different that sounds than the earth is our mother and gave birth to us, therefore it is sacred and should be worshipped. There are many people that relate to the earth that way. Think of the phrase Mother Nature. And while it is true that life comes forth from our earth in a dimension, God is the owner of it, not the earth. This concept that God is the possessor of our world is one that is taught numerous places in the scripture, beginning when Melchizedek met Abraham after coming back from rescuing Lot and people of Sodom from their capture. He says this, "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him tithes of all." Possessor of heaven and earth. Another familiar passage is Psalm 50. Turn with me to Psalm 50, verses 7 through 13. "Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he goat out of thy folds. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." In this passage, God was correcting, I believe, a false understanding that they had. They were taught to bring offerings, animals, bullocks, sheep, goats, pigeon doves, many things they were taught to bring and offer to God. But God is saying here that I don't need you to bring me those things because I don't have them. I own them all. And what I want from you is thanksgiving and paying your vows. I want a commitment from you, and I want thanksgiving from your heart. And these sacrifices that you make are supposed to be connected to that. But if I were hungry, I wouldn't need to tell you because I have all the animals to eat. Does God need flesh? No, he doesn't. But the point is that the resources were God's. He made them. He created them. They aren't yours. You are just a steward of it. The cattle in your pasture, you don't own them. God owns them. We are but stewards of this world. God is the owner. And we refer to that as divine ownership because God is divine. He's the eternal one. And this concept directly affects how we live out our life, whether we believe that the earth truly is the Lord's or whether we believe it is our own or whether we believe that it is the mother to us all. So God has divine ownership of the universe that we live in, the earth that we live in, but surely I own myself. Doesn't the American people believe that they have certain inalienable rights? 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Again, the concept that my own person, my own body, my own flesh is not my own. It is God's. And so I don't have the privilege to decide what I do with myself. And that concept is foreign to what is taught in our world, that you can't tell me what I should do with myself. It's my own. I have the right to dictate what I do. And if it doesn't hurt you, it doesn't matter. And if two people decide to do something together and it doesn't hurt anyone else, it's none of your business either. That's what our society teaches. But the Word of God teaches that we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. We've been made and we've been bought back. Double ownership. The concept of stewardship is built on the understanding that there is an owner. And the Scripture teaches us that God is that possessor and maker of the earth and its substance, and therefore is the owner of it. And as stewards, we are given the privilege of using these resources, but we're not owners of them. We're stewards of them. I'm given the gift of this body, but I'm not the owner of it. I'm simply the steward of it. And this concept, this understanding of biblical truth, drastically affects how we view our world and how we view the person sitting beside us and the neighbor that lives beside us, the person we meet in the store. But we may find that the worldly understanding of the earth and people starts to change our godly understanding of it. And so we want to ponder this morning and think about, how do I view myself? Owned by God or owned by myself? How do I view my possessions? Am I a steward of them or do I own them? How quickly do I get caught up in protecting what I own? Because it's mine. Or do we think of it as, I'm a steward of these things, they're God's. What would he have me to do with them? Because that's what a steward does. A steward has the privilege to manage an owner's possessions. You can think of Joseph back in the Old Testament. He was a steward of Potiphar's possessions and had the privilege to do wisely with them what he chose to. And that's what a steward does. In a way, he has free reign. He can act almost as an owner of those possessions. But one thing he keeps in mind is that when the owner comes to him and asks him to give an account, he must give an account. And if the owner isn't satisfied with the account that he gives, he could lose his role as a steward. He could lose his work as a steward. And so this morning, if you and I are stewards of what God owns, it's important to know what the owner thinks about these things so that we know how to be stewards of them that will please him. And so we don't have a whole lot of time this morning. This is a big subject. I have three main points that I want to look at, and perhaps it'll inspire you to meditate more on this subject. The first one is very familiar to us. God commands us to have dominion over the earth. Turn with me to Genesis 1, where this concept, this truth was given to Adam and Eve. And God said, Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Have dominion over the kingdom, the animal and plant kingdom in which you find yourself. Turn with me to Psalm 8, verses 4 through 8. Again, this concept of having dominion is taught. Psalm 8, verse 4. "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea." God commands us to have dominion over the earth. This truth is what gives us the authority to make use of our resources. That's why, if we would not believe that, we could believe that the earth is sacred, which I believe some people do. But because we understand that God has given us the authority to have dominion over the earth, we try to control the part of the earth that we have. We utilize it. We dig in the dirt. We plant. We dig stone out of the ground. And we sell it. We use it to stone our driveways. We use it to make patios. We do many, many things with the earth because we know that it isn't sacred and it is for us to have dominion over. To have dominion over the earth means to have mastery over it. And so with that understanding comes the possibility that we could abuse that mastery. Have you thought about that? That in our attempt to have dominion over the earth, we could perhaps abuse it? Can stewards abuse the resources that they are given to have dominion over? And as I pondered this concept, I thought, what guides our work as a steward in the world that we live in? What guides it? How do we know how to be stewards of it? And as I meditated on it, I started to realize how that morality gives guidance to how you and I are stewards. God gave us morality so that we could properly relate to the earth that he gave us to have dominion over. I'd like to do just a little exercise with you all. I don't know if you will enter into it with me or not, but I'd like to ask you a couple questions, and on a scale of 1 to 10, I'd like someone to be brave enough to give their thoughts on it. Thinking about, what does God think about how we are stewards of the earth? On a scale of 1 to 10 being God doesn't care at all, to 10, God cares a lot and has told us that. My question is, does God care how we treat other people? On a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being very little, 10 being a lot. If if thinking about, does God care how I treat other people? What would you put it as? Yes. A 10. I believe so. Does God care about what we do with other people? So the first one is, does God care how I treat someone? Second is, does God care about the actions that I involve myself with other people? On a scale of 1 to 10. A 10. Does God care how we treat animals? 1 being, he doesn't care. 10 being, he cares a lot. What does the owner of your cattle, your sheep, your whatever you have, your dog, on a scale of 1 to 10, do you think God cares at all how you treat your animals? Ten. Okay. Does God care about what we do with animals? 1 to 10. 10. What's guiding your answers? Is it morality? Think about that. Will a Christian care for his animals differently than an ungodly person? Think about that. Does God care about how we treat plants? 1 to 10. Does he care as much about how you treat your plants as he does how you treat other people? I don't think so. Does God care about what you do with plants? I think so. For instance, if you make a pick handle out of a piece of wood and you clobber your neighbor with it, he cares about what you did with a plant. So, just some things to think about. Does God care about how we treat the earth? Does God care about what we do with it? Just some things to get the cogs working in your mind. If you drive by a surface coal mine, I don't know if they mine coal in this area or not, but down in our area they do. And you can drive by a strip mine and you can look down into a gash in the earth 500 feet down there where they're digging out coal. Now some people see that and they think that those people are treating the earth terribly. Others see it and say they're just having dominion over the earth. That coal down there could be used to heat houses, rip the ground open, dig the coal out. But is there any morality involved with that? Any thought on that? That's right. And I'm sure there are safety factors involved. So, you know, if it'd be done carelessly where there's loss of life, that would matter. So as we look at this subject of what does the owner think about, how does the owner want us to care for what he's given us dominion over, we start to understand that there are some things that God values highly. There are other things, there are other aspects that God doesn't, it's not as important. And then there are others that are even lesser important. And the reason you and I have that hierarchical understanding is based on Scripture. You might not think about it that way, and we don't have time, but these understandings of why, how we treat other people and what we do with other people have a number 10, whereas what you do to your radishes or to your sweet corn may be our number 1. There's a reason why that is. And unfortunately, because our society is losing its understanding of God and His truth, all life gets minimized on one hand, and on the other hand, it gets maximized. So human life gets less value, and plant life suddenly has greater value, or especially animal life. You see that, where you have no-kill humane societies and things like that. Animal life has increased in value. Human life has decreased in value, and it's because of slipping away from an understanding of who makes the rules. It's God does. Number 2, God wants us to use our wealth to benefit others. Turn with me to 1 Timothy to understand this principle from the owner. 1 Timothy 6. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good. God does care about what you and I do with our wealth. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. God wants us to use our wealth to benefit others. That's what the owner, if you're a steward and you want to know what God wants you to do with the income that you have, one of the things he wants you to do is to give to others. And there are many ways by which we can do this. One of them is in Matthew 5, verse 42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. That's what the owner of our world teaches us. And sometimes that can be a hard commandment to obey. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. But I think this needs to formulate our understanding of the things that we own. That God's preference is if someone comes and asks of us to borrow our llama or whatever it is, we would give it to him. Ask him to borrow it. I mean, allow him to borrow it, whatever it might be. And I have no idea whether you all are a community that lends and borrows from each other or not. I don't know. But this is a biblical concept. And I've met people who embrace it a lot, and I've met people who you think they missed it when they read the Bible. But the owner would prefer that we would give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. And this, to me, is a form of giving. Because oftentimes, when you loan something out, it may come back used heavily. But it was a way that you're able to give. It might not be in dollars, but it's a way that you can give. Romans 12, verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. And I believe God especially wants us to help with the needs in our Christian community. And outside of our Christian community, in our community in a broad sense. And sometimes those needs don't have the appeal to them that the needs in the CAM newsletter have when they come with colorful pictures. And we know that a lot of people give to these. There can be an appeal to give in that way and neglect the need that is next door to us that is not getting any attention. And my challenge that I like to keep alive to myself as well as share with others is that we do well. It's a opportunity to show Christ when we can help with needs that are close by, whether it's another brother, another family in the church, or whether it's your ungodly neighbor, that God, the owner of the things that you have, would prefer that you would share with others. And also even your enemies. Romans 12, 20 and 21 says, "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." The owner would prefer that we would give to those that would hate us. That's what he thinks. And that's backwards from the way we think. We don't want to help those who hate us. They deserve to be punished. But the Bible teaches us to use our wealth to bless our enemies. As stewards, it is the right and proper thing to use God's resources to bless those who don't like us, and to use it to overcome evil. One of the questions to ponder is, as stewards, how much of it can you keep for yourself? How much, if as stewards should get paid a little bit, shouldn't they? How much of it can you keep for yourself? There are a couple principles that guide that, guide your understanding of that. One is the principle of the tithe in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, the Old Testament Jews were allowed to use 90% for their own needs, for their own benefit. 10% was to be given to the work of the temple and the Levites. And I am thankful that we know God thinks. I'm thankful that we know what God's opinion was. That doesn't sound right. We know what God thoughts are towards what a steward could use for his own benefit, his family's benefit, versus what should be given. And so a tithe, I think, is a good concept to have. But the New Testament goes on farther. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, it says, "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him." So that's the percentage that the New Testament uses, as God has prospered him. And so giving should be done based on how we have prospered. And 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7 teaches us that he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So God's thoughts on what we should do with the things that we have in life or accumulate. One of the truths is that if we give cheerfully, God loves that. And also our reward, we will reap in relationship to how much we sow. One of the things I found out as I grew up and became an adult is that if I don't purposefully give, it doesn't happen. If I wait to give, if I determine what I'm going to give in the offering by what I find in my wallet on Sunday morning, my giving will be minuscule. Unless you go around with a thick wallet. And so I think purpose and thought needs to be given to the subject, so that we give as God would like, give as God prefers. You know, if you only put a $20 bill in the offering, that's $1,000 a year. If you only make a $10,000 salary, that would be about appropriate. But I think a lot of us make more than that. And so take conscious thought to the fact that God would like for you to share what you have with others. Thirdly is, God wants us to forgive debts. And this, we won't take the time, but from the story of that Jesus told of the steward, of the debtor who had this huge debt, and he went and begged the Lord to forgive him his debt. And the Lord was moved with compassion, forgave him his debt. And then he went out and found one of his own debtors that owed him just a little wee bit, grabbed a hold of him and said, pay me what thou owest. And when the Lord found out about it, he was very upset. Stingy stewards make God angry. I think that's what we can learn from that. You and I have been forgiven so much. What is how does that connect with the debts that to our debtors, to people who owe us things? Does it have any effect? Does it make us desire to forgive debts because you and I know that we had a debt that we could never pay? And because God knew that, he made a way for that debt to be paid through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we are debtors this morning to the gift of the owner. And I think when he sees his stewards not wanting to forgive a small debt that isn't theirs anyway, it's actually a debt towards God, because God's the owner of our things. I think we can learn from that story that God would like us to forgive debts that we have. And for us men, we typically have those opportunities to forgive debts. And it's a wonderful opportunity to witness that I forgive this debt because I've been forgiven so much. And I had that privilege last year. I had a customer who had owed us a certain amount of money, and a number of years had gone by, and I thought the remainder I would like to just release him from it, because it affected our relationship. He knew he owed us that money, and when he would come into the store, he would always bring it up. And he was having difficult financial straits, and So I decided that I'd like to release him from this, but I wanted to tell him personally about it. So one day he came to the store, and I met him. I said, Randy, I said, I want to tell you that the rest that you owe me is forgiven. You don't owe me anymore. And I said, I did it because I followed Jesus. And he was overjoyed, and he said, I know you do, Keith. He said, you're the only person that has, he said, everyone else tries to beat me down. He said, you've tried to help me. Anyway, I don't say that to share. I just give that story to teach you the opportunity that comes from releasing a person from a debt that they have. And I think it's also wise to live in a way that doesn't make for debts. You know, there are times where we help someone and they feel indebted to us. And I think it's wise to release them from that and say, don't feel like you need to pay me back. Just pass this favor on to someone else. And that way, it releases them from that feeling of indebtedness, and it also spurs within them the desire to share what they have with others. I remember an older brother saying when I was growing up, what is mine is yours if you need it. And I like that concept. And I think it's a stewardship concept. What is mine is yours if you need it. If you need it, I'd be happy to share with you. And when we understand that we each are just stewards of what God owns, it's actually just stewards sharing with each other is what that is. This morning, it's a privilege to be a steward of the God of heaven. Can you imagine this? I mean, we talk about this, but this amazing being that created the universe, created all this, owns the wealth of the world. You and I are stewards for him. And it's a tremendous privilege. And I'm so glad that I'm not an owner of what I have, because I don't know what to do with it. But because God is the owner of it, He's taught me what to do with my body. He's taught me what to do with my plants. He's taught me what to do with my animals and with the ground that I own and the people that I live among. He's taught me how to relate to that. And you think about that compared to our society that has lost that connection. The ethical questions that they deal with and are confused by because they've lost the understanding of who owns it anymore. So in conclusion, God has given us dominion over the earth that we live in. God wants us to share our wealth, and God wants us to forgive debts because we have been forgiven so much. Let's kneel for prayer.